Chapter 25. When Stiles wakes up the next morning, his room is dimly lit from the sun coming in around the edges of the curtains. Derek is still asleep, so Stiles crawls out of bed. He does his business in the bathroom and then throws on jeans and a t-shirt before going downstairs to make breakfast. It's Sunday, the day he normally makes a big breakfast for the pack, and a pang of guilt goes through him as he pulls eggs and bread out of the refrigerator. He doubts Derek will tolerate the smell of cooking meat right now, so he settles for cheesy scrambled eggs and toast. About 5 minutes later, Derek comes down on bare human feet, hardly making any sound. He's dressed in his own clothes, a t-shirt and pair of sweatpants that he had left there for the nights he winds up staying over. They smell like laundry soap, so obviously they had been washed, folded, and put away in Stiles' room by either him or his father. Derek only looks a little more rumpled than usual, since he hardly ever uses a mirror to put himself together even on a normal day. Stiles is whistling tunelessly as he reaches into a cabinet so he can make some tea, since he knows Derek doesn't like coffee. He turns around to go to the sink for water, catches Derek out of the corner of his eye, and yelps, dropping the canister. Derek lunges and catches it before tea can go scattering all over the floor. "Safe," he says, and hands it back. "Sorry, shoes help me make noise." "Yeah, no shit, Sherlock," Stiles says, taking the canister. He gives Derek a sneaking sidelong glance as he grabs the kettle, not sure whether or not their normal morning makeout routine is recommended in these circumstances, and trying not to notice how low the sweatpants hang on his hips. Derek's giving him a sideways look in equal proportion. "Hey, so," Stiles says, trying to marshal his thoughts. "You hungry?"
I don't know."
Derek is quiet for a second. "Are you going to tell me what you and Peter found out?" Stiles shoves the scrambled eggs around in the pan, not looking at him. "If you want me to," he says, his voice painfully neutral. Derek knows that tone. That's the tone that says Stiles is afraid of being rejected. He doesn't need scent to tell him what he can hear and see. He moves towards Stiles, into his personal space. "Yes, I'd like to know what you two found out. I wish it wasn't there for you to find, but I'm glad we aren't blind to it anymore." After a moment, he adds, "No, I'm not hungry. Fire and food are a bad mix. Sorry." "It's okay." Stiles turns the stove off and wraps an arm around Derek's waist, hooking his chin over Derek's shoulder. "I never meant to upset you. I hoped that Peter and I could take care of it quietly, you know."
"Yeah, I sort of got that."
Derek wraps an arm around Stiles' waist. "We need to have a talk about things it's okay to keep from each other, like birthday surprises and accidentally turning the laundry pink, and things that aren't, like hunting for family-murdering psychopaths." He takes a breath and leans more heavily against Stiles, "whether it upsets me or not." "Okay," Stiles says with a sigh. "Will it bother you if I eat?" he adds, shoveling eggs onto a plate and grabbing jam out of the fridge. Derek shakes his head, so Stiles starts slathering butter and jam on his toast. "Water's ready," he says, with his mouth full. "Thanks." Derek grabs a mug and a teaspoon and sets about making himself tea. It's good to have something to focus on, and he wants the caffeine and the soothing warmth. After another moment, he says, "I'm sorry I wasn't there to stop my mom from hurting you. She shouldn't have done that. Done a lot of things." "I really don't want to talk about your mother," Stiles says with a sigh. "But don't worry about it. Peter had my back." Derek nods and gives in to Stiles' request because he doesn't know how to talk about it. Hearing Peter threaten his mother made him just as sick as hearing his mother hurt his mate. He doesn't know what to do with either of those things. "Apparently I should try to cut your mother some slack or something like that," Stiles says, shoveling more eggs into his mouth. "Anyway, yeah, I sort of tried to talk to you about it, but you just got so upset when the fire came up. I knew it had to have been horrible for you, so I just
I don't know. I probably fucked everything up. And that time in the car, Derek says, nodding, when you asked for my opinion, and I told you that Peter was really smart. He sips his tea and takes a deep breath. It was really awful. I have blanks and things I wish I were blank. But if someone did that to us, I have to know. Even if I spend the next 4 hours having flashbacks and dry heaving in your bathroom. Dude, not comforting, Styles says, shaking his head. But then he reaches out and takes Derek's hand. Here, follow me. Derek curls his fingers around Styles and gets up. Styles leaves his breakfast abandoned and goes up the stairs to his bedroom. Just sit here, he says, ushering Derek to sit on the end of his bed, holding the mug of tea between both hands. Then he lets out a breath and starts taking the posters out of his closet. He's compacted them now, gotten rid of extraneous details that have turned out not to matter, made things smaller so they would fit better, but the scope is still impressive. He starts tacking them up on the wall. There it is, he says with a gesture, when all of them are up. For a long minute, Derek just studies the information laid out before him, his skin turning pale. The renovations, they knew there were kids in the house. His voice comes out strangled. David was only 8. One hand comes up to cover his mouth, and he swallows convulsively. I know, Styles says quietly, waiting for the worst of it to pass. It takes quite a while, and even when he starts talking again, he still doesn't look very good. You're going to have to explain. I can't think well enough to... He was only 8. We don't have to do this now, Styles says. No, we... Derek's voice is cut off as Styles' phone rings. Styles gets it off his desk and glances at the screen. It's your mother, he says, and hands the phone to Derek. I guess you don't have yours. Derek answers it without having to fumble, since it had been his phone up until only a month ago. Hi, Mom, he says, a little wary. Talia's voice is tired, almost hoarse. Derek, are you all right? Mostly, Derek says. He's not in the habit of lying to his mother. I'm with Styles, so that's okay. There's a notable pause. May I speak with him for a few moments? Derek takes a deep breath. Are you going to yell? No, I just need to apologize. Okay. Derek puts his hand over the phone before saying, she wants to talk to you, and holding it out to Styles. The teenager takes it somewhat reluctantly, but tries to sound normal. Good morning, he says into the phone. Good morning, Styles, Talia says. There are some things I need to tell you, and I would prefer it to do it to your face if possible. But I'm sorry, really. I owe you an apology for so many things. I've never meant to hurt you or make you feel unwelcome, or try to exclude you from the pack. The fire changed all of us in different ways. If you're willing, I would like to know what you found out. The words come out a little grudging, but Styles doesn't think that's because she doesn't mean them. She's clearly a woman who's not used to having to apologize, and to be fair, he wouldn't be happy about it in her shoes either. He reminds himself of what his father had said and lets out a breath. Okay, he says. We can be over in about an hour. His mother hen side gets the better of him. Have you guys had breakfast? I know it's still early. I think Aaron was talking about going to get some coffee and donuts, Talia says, so don't worry about it. Okay, we'll be there soon. Styles hangs up and slides the phone into his pocket. He shakes his head a little and says, man, this didn't go the way I intended at all. I mean, I knew you'd be upset, but I thought, you know, you'd see all the work I'd done and what an awesome badass detective I am and start tearing my clothes off and we could, like, have sex in the middle of the posters and everything. Derek gives the posters another quick glance without absorbing the details. I am absolutely impressed, and if it wasn't about the fire, it would be so hot. Remember that for the next time you do something like this, because I'm sure there will be a next time, and I plan to tear your clothes off then. Styles smirks, despite his best efforts. Okay, well, how about a kiss then? I think that can be arranged. Derek loops an arm around Styles' waist and pulls him in for a gentle, chaste kiss. Styles returns it, slow and easy, one hand curling at the back of Derek's neck, fingers twining into the short hairs there. This goes back and forth for a few minutes before Styles pulls away and says, "We are going to take care of this, Derek, and no one is going to hurt you while I'm around, okay?" Derek nods a little. "Okay, just no more secrets, okay? Even if they upset me. I'd rather be upset." Styles isn't so sure about that, but there's no way to explain everything he's learned without going into the way he's been talking to Kate Argent, so there's nothing he can do but agree. He packs up his laptop, which has copies of everything that's on his posters, and they head over to the Hale House. It's somewhat more chaotic than usual. There are the aforementioned donuts and coffee in the kitchen, and a palpable aura of relief at Styles and Derek's arrival. Cora hugs Styles for about 5 minutes, and Aaron immediately starts forcing Gatorade down Derek's throat because you don't want to see a werewolf with low blood sugar. Tyler's had 2 donuts and is acting out a sugar high. Laura is chasing after him, clearly flustered. Peter is sitting in the bay window, turning his wedding ring around in his fingers, and he doesn't seem to notice Derek and Styles having showed up. Talia comes down the stairs looking tired, with dark smudges under her eyes. She's dressed casually for the first time since Styles has met her, in a tank top and gym shorts. Her hair is pinned up in a messy bun. "Derek," she says, relief obvious in her voice, and she pulls him into an embrace. Derek hugs her back, still holding on to his drink in one hand behind her back. "Mom." She kisses him on the forehead before letting him go. Then she looks at Styles and lets out a breath. "Would you walk with me, Styles? I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes." Styles gives her a steady look and then nods. "Sure." Talia heads outside without bothering to stop for shoes. They walk in silence for almost 10 minutes. Styles lets her gather her thoughts. Finally, she says, "I met Aaron when I was your age. He was another werewolf at the searching ceremony, and we found each other. I've always looked at it as a special day, a sacred day. Derek has never seen it that way. I don't know if that has something to do with the fire or if it's just the way he is. The way he complained about having to go has always bothered me. When he came home with you, it was the culmination of years' worth of tension and stress. I took that out on you, which was incredibly unfair of me. Even if Derek had been playing a cruel joke on you, which for God's sake I should have known my own son would never do, I would have only made it worse. But please believe me when I say it was nothing about you that made me react that way beyond your age and gender. I didn't know you at all. I reacted based solely on those 2 things, not because there are any other reasons I thought you wouldn't make a worthy addition to my pack. You are a remarkable, amazing person, and you make Derek happier than I've ever seen him, and that's worth the world to me. The fire changed all of us. Derek has barely smiled or laughed since then, until he met you. To be honest, Styles, I wouldn't care if you were Cletus the slack-jawed yokel, hearing the way you make Derek laugh, because that is what is important to me. I can't bring back the people that were lost, but I think maybe you can bring back the Derek from before the fire. Even if he's never really the same, he can be happy again. And I did avoid you, and it wasn't a good way of dealing with it. I just thought you were getting comfortable, finding your place, and I thought it would be easier for you if I just wasn't around very much. I didn't mean it as an insult. I was trying to take care of my son in the only way I could, by giving the 2 of you space. So, she lets out a breath. I don't know if you can forgive me, but if the pack is in danger, I need to know. because I need to protect them. You were right. The way I was refusing to face up to this was putting them in danger, and I can't let them be hurt again because of me. The fire wasn't because of you, Stiles says quietly. It was a hate crime, plain and simple. Sometimes they target prominent werewolves, but sometimes they've killed entire families, too. There was nothing you could have done to prevent it. Talia lets out a shuddering sigh. I think it's going to take me a long time to believe that. That's okay, Stiles says. Maybe that's good. And, I'm sorry, too. I was kind of a shithead yesterday. You know, I mean, even if I was right, I could have been a little more sensitive to your feelings. Maybe a little, Talia says, and she even manages to get a teasing tone in her voice. Stiles gives a huff of laughter, but wipes his hand over his eyes. Talia stops walking and wraps her arms around Stiles' shoulders. I hope that we can be all right with each other now. Me too. Stiles jams his hands in his pockets as she lets him go. But I have a couple conditions, he adds. Talia automatically bristles, but then nods for him to continue. First off, I know you want to rebuild the pack. I know it's important to you, but Derek doesn't want kids. He and I have talked about it. I think maybe he'll change his mind someday. I don't know. I'm kind of neutral on the subject, and I'm only 17, and we're both guys, but I'd be up for adoption or surrogacy someday, I guess, but Derek can't wrap his head around that right now, and I need you to understand that. The more you pressure him about it, the more he's just going to close himself off to the possibility. I'm telling you this for your sake as much as his. After a brief pause, Talia nods. Okay, I understand. Secondly, Stiles hunches his shoulders inwards, we've talked about the fire a couple times, and about rebuilding the pack the way he feels like he blames himself for not being able to rescue the others. He sees Talia's eyes flare crimson. I know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's Derek. He thinks that if he'd been able to save Olivia, Peter would be okay. Or that if he'd been able to save his brothers, you'd be okay with me. Please, when we get back to the house, will you please just tell him that nothing about this is his fault? That nobody blames him? I think he really needs to hear it. Of course. Talia wipes her eyes with the back of her hand. I didn't realize how hard he was being on himself. I think he had it pretty well buried for a long time, Stiles says. But a lot of what's going on lately has brought it back to the surface. That's all. I'll talk to him, Talia says. Okay, then let's head back. The house is a little quieter when they get back. The donuts have been demolished, except for a few that were specifically set aside for Stiles and Derek. Jonathan has taken Tyler and Sylvia to the park, where they can burn off some energy, so Laura can stay to hear what Stiles has to say. She and Cora are packed into an armchair together, crowded but clearly enjoying the close quarters. Derek is hovering near Peter, leaning against the wall, while his uncle still stares out the window. Stiles steps over to him and laces his fingers through Derek's, giving his hand a squeeze. Talia clears her throat and says, "Before Stiles gives us an overview, Derek, can I talk to you for a minute?" Derek blinks at her, then reminds himself that he's not in any sort of trouble, not with the way his mother greeted him. So he nods and takes a step towards her. It's only then that he realizes he has to let go of Stiles. "Go on, I've got to talk to Uncle P anyway," Stiles says, pulling his hand free. Derek lets his hand fall free and follows his mother into the kitchen. Once they're in relative privacy, she wraps her arms around him and pulls him in for another embrace. "None of this was your fault," she says, her voice quiet and fierce. "Nobody died because of you, Derek. I'm so sorry that it never occurred to me how much you blamed yourself for not being able to save the others. That wasn't your fault." Derek starts to hug back, but then just freezes instead. He doesn't argue or agree or accept forgiveness. He just goes still. Oh, God, Derek, if I'd known. Talia's voice breaks. I'm so sorry. She hugs him tighter. I know that you tried your best to save everyone. It's not your fault, okay? Derek's arms tighten around her, suddenly, convulsively. I could hear them. It's just barely a whisper. Aunt Olivia and then Davy. I couldn't move. I know, Derek, Talia chokes out. I could hear them too, she says, and Derek starts crying silently into her shoulder. They stand there holding each other for a long time, until he finally starts to calm down. She rubs his back and gets him a glass of water. Come on, she says quietly. Let's go hear what Stiles and Peter have put together. Okay. Derek takes the water, sips it a few times, and lets his mother guide him back into the living room. His eyes are still damp, and he wipes at them with the heel of his hand, not because he doesn't want anyone to see, but because the damp feeling is annoying. Everyone in the house knows that he was crying. Even if they hadn't heard it, they'd be able to smell it on him. Aaron pats the sofa next to him, and Derek sinks down onto it. Talia sits down on his other side, so he's sandwiched between his parents, and looks at Stiles expectantly. Stiles is fidgeting, pacing back and forth in front of the bay window, while Peter still stares off into space. Okay, Stiles says, and exhales. I'm not sure where to start. At the beginning, Aaron says. Always start stories at the beginning. Okay, Stiles thinks about this. Yeah, okay. 50 years ago, this guy named Gerard Argent started an organization called the Werewolf Liberation Op, because he hates werewolves and also is a psychopath, if I've got it straight. It's sort of a family organization run by him and his daughter Kate and his brother, Alexander. They've spent the last several decades killing off werewolves, particularly prominent ones, and generally trying to stir up tension between werewolves and humans and make werewolves look bad. He takes and lets out another breath. So, there are really two issues here. The first is the way that the WLO has been fucking with werewolf society in general, which is actually what I was working on at the start of all this, so I guess that's where I have to start with you guys, because that's how I figured out they were responsible for the fire. They've also been sabotaging the searching ceremonies. He takes one of the How to Win a Werewolf pamphlets out of his backpack and hands it to Talia. She flips through it, frowning. This makes no sense, she says. Aaron is leaning over her shoulder. I've heard about these, he says, rolling his eyes a little, kind of like a snake oil business. Derek takes it and looks it over, one lip curling up. This is why I hated the ceremonies. It's just hours of this bullshit. He leans around his father and hands it to Cora. Is this what you were talking about? Yeah, this kind of crap, Cora says, nodding. But it doesn't make any sense, Talia says, clearly the most confused. That's got nothing to do with how the searching works. No, it doesn't, Stiles says. And up until about 20 years ago, they weren't looked at as a competition at all. Then this sort of thing started being released on the market, and it gradually took over the traditional views. It just slowly poisoned the way it was supposed to be. This is why everyone threw such a fucking fit when I chose you, Derek says. And why everyone gave Scott and Allison such a hard time about finding a human match. His eyes widen. Oh my God, I'm surprised her parents don't have her tied up in their basement. Aaron frowns a little. What? Stiles holds up a finger. Allison is Kate's niece, he says. Her father, Chris, is an anti-werewolf activist, but he is not involved in the WLO, as far as I can tell. He's actually a lobbyist for, well, it has to do with guns. I didn't get into it very much after I figured out it wasn't involved with what was going on. But yes, the fact that Allison is related to Kate is important, but I'll get to that in a minute. Talia is clearly enraged, her hands shaking as she looks through the pamphlet. How dare they? This is supposed to be sacred, and they've turned it into some circus. And why? Laura asks quietly. How does it benefit them?
By creating tension, Styles says. Specifically resentment. Like what happened with me and Derek. He picked someone who didn't fit the mold. People got outraged. I got hurt. My alpha came down and exercised her wolfy privilege. It stirred up an entire wasp's nest of hurt feelings and sore losers.
Jesus. Aaron rubs his hands over his face.
Now, for a long time, I had no idea that the WLO had anything to do with this, Styles continues. I mean, I didn't figure this stuff was malicious, just misguided. And it didn't seem like something out of the WLO's playbook, since they typically want to keep werewolves away from humans. But then there's this. He rummages around in his bag and comes up with two of the competing perfume ads. Specifically designed to capture a werewolf's attention, he says, handing them to Talia. And despite the fact that these companies are in direct competition with each other, if you follow the money trail, they're actually both owned and financed by the WLO. Derek's nose wrinkles. Almost everyone wears perfume now, and you're in a closed room with all these people.
But half the point is catching someone's scent, Talia says. A bunch of people wearing perfume will only confuse a werewolf.
Yeah, and it probably doesn't help that the perfumes are all infused with wolfsbane, Styles says.
Talia's eyes flare crimson.
What? She snarls. Derek leans into his mother, hoping his presence will calm her down some. It's not really enough to cause any sort of severe symptoms, and in a strange way, it did help me find the right person.
No, it didn't, Styles says, pointing at him. The fact that you were about to leave when I stumbled into the room because you had a headache is completely irrelevant. I'm the one who showed up. I could have done it after you'd been there 10 minutes, or 10 minutes after you left. All the perfume did was cause you to not be thinking clearly enough to completely fuck up the way you approached me.
After a moment, Derek wilts and waits for Styles to continue.
So, in addition to sowing dissent between humans and werewolves, Styles says, this also makes it less likely for werewolves to actually find mates, which, of course, makes them less likely to reproduce, etc. He gives a little shrug and says, overall, it's pretty genius, and this is the stuff I can actually prove.
Talia leans forward, her fists clenching. But it's not what you came to tell us today.
No, Styles agrees. He swallows once and says, not long after Derek chose me, I was approached by Kate Argent. She told me that Derek had only picked me because I was the sheriff's son, and she tried to persuade me into basically turning into an undercover agent for her. He falls silent, waiting to see what the reaction from the pack will be.
Persuade you? Derek asks, not at all liking the way that word stood alone in the sentence. Then the part about being the sheriff's son clicks.
That was back when we rescued Cleo.
It obviously hasn't occurred to him that Styles might have done what she wanted. Even if Styles hadn't agreed to be his mate, he wasn't the sort of person who would help a hate group.
Yeah, keep in mind I was kind of at a low point right around then.
Styles swallows, not looking at any of them.
I was having a really hard time at school, and I sort of half-believed her, and she kind of flattered me, and whatever, I'm not exactly proud of it. And then she kicked a stray cat, and I realized she was a horrible person, so that was basically the end of that.
Derek nods, accepting the semi-apology for what it was and letting it go. They've talked through these things already. It's going to take time for Styles to accept what happened.
Then I changed my mind. Styles rubs a hand over the back of his head. See, I started to wonder what she was up to. Why she wanted someone inside the Hail Pack. She didn't seem dumb enough to believe the line she was trying to sell me. So what was she actually doing? So I started meeting with her on a semi-regular basis and telling her stuff about you guys that wasn't exactly true. I just kind of made up some bullshit to tell her, seeing what she was and wasn't interested in. Oh my god, Styles, Talia says. Peter shifts in his seat and says nothing. Derek makes a noise like he might have swallowed a fish, alive and whole. His hands reach out like he wasn't sure if he wanted to clutch Styles or strangle him, or maybe both. Now, keep in mind that at that point I had no idea she was a murderous psychopath, Styles says hastily. But, anyway, he starts talking very fast, as if to derail them from the concept of him spending time with Kate. One time after I met her, Peter got kind of upset and freaked out and said I smelled like an enemy. I didn't think a lot of it at the time, but then he reacted the same way to Allison, and Allison and Kate wear the same perfume sometimes, and yeah, it's the scent that he reacted to. He smelled it the day of the fire. See, the rest of you all started inside, but Peter didn't. We think he must have smelled it in the woods on his way there, the trail that Kate left behind after starting the fire. So then I started looking into that, and I asked my dad if he thought the fire had been an accident. He said he had never been sure, so I kind of stole a bunch of reports from the police station and made a bunch of calls pretending to be a law enforcement officer, and that's when I started finding all the other people the WLO had murdered. None of which is particularly relevant at this exact moment, but we did find an agent of the WLO who had worked on the crew that did renovations about 6 months previous to the fire. He admitted to, well, it's a long story, complicated science talk. They invented an odorless accelerant, and he spread it all around your house inside the walls. Derek hunches down between his parents, looking pale and sick. Please tell me that different people built this house, he chokes out. Wouldn't actually matter, Styles says. It was only the one guy, and he doesn't work there anymore. But yes, Aaron assures his son. The problem, Styles says, is that I can't prove Kate Argent's involvement. I've got heaps of circumstantial evidence, but no hard proof. The only actual evidence I have that she did this is Peter's reaction to her perfume. Which is enough for us, but not for your father, or... Derek stops. Does he know? Most of it, yeah. He's been responsible for some of the financial stuff. Like the fire inspector, for example, who went to college with Gerard Argent, to whom we can't find any evidence of a bribe, but he certainly did start making some large purchases not long after the fire. So there was no investigation at all, really, Aaron says. Well, he did the basics. It's more about what he didn't find than what he did find. See, the accelerant they used isn't something that would be checked for, since it was designer, so the guy could legitimately say he hadn't found anything. But his report does specifically cite the evidence of an electrical fire, which of course wouldn't have actually been there. Styles lets out a breath, shifting from foot to foot while the others are just sitting in silent horror. I think that's it. I have a theory about how Kate set the fire, but it's sort of stupid. Tell us, Talia says, then adds, please. Well, Allison does archery, he says. Just as a hobby, but she says Kate did too when she was younger. I'm thinking, well, who here has seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Jesus, Cora mutters, we were victims of a bad movie plot? Maybe, Styles says, maybe. I can't prove it, it's just a guess. And if that's what she did, we'll likely never be able to prove it, which is why I'm sort of still working with her, hoping that I'll get something from her. You what? Derek blurts out. Styles clears his throat. I just meet her a couple times a week, tell her all the reasons why you guys are really a terrible target for werewolf vengeance and shit, and try to lead her into telling me something useful. It hasn't happened yet. Derek looks positively spooked. What if she finds out that you aren't on her side? That you're playing a double agent. Technically, I think I'm being a triple agent. Styles sees several unamused stares and then adds, but I always tell Peter when and where I'm meeting her so he can watch my back. Anyway, she thinks I'm a besotted idiot, so she's not going to figure anything out. Wait, Derek says flatly, besotted. Why is the word besotted being used in conjunction with your interactions with a murdering psycho? The words are nearly a growl. Well, Styles says, rubbing a hand over the back of his head. I can't give her any reason to suspect my loyalty, right? And she kind of flirts with me like, oh, fuck, there's no nice way to put it. She's totally a pedophile, and she thinks she's seduced me with her feminine wiles, and that's why I'm helping her. Actually, she'd be an ephebophile, Peter murmurs, his first words since the conference started. Pedophilia is an attraction to prepubescent youth. Derek nearly throws his hands up in the air to express his exasperation that now is when Peter chooses to chime in. And how far does she make you go to convince her? Styles' cheeks turn pink. Jeez, Derek, it's not like she molests me. You don't need to make such a big deal out of it. Derek growls, how far? Nothing. She's kissed me once or twice. That's all. I can handle it. Derek growls again. Right, so anyway, Styles says hastily, that's where things currently stand, and I'll totally keep you all posted. But as long as I'm still talking to Kate, I'm pretty sure that nobody's in immediate danger. Talia is frowning. You have no way of knowing that. You are in danger. Styles sighs. Look, I can take care of myself. And we could take care of her, Talia says, giving Peter a significant look. Peter perks up somewhat. Yes, I could do that. Styles grits his teeth. After everything I've done to stay under her radar, you are not going to blow my cover. You won't need your cover if she's dead, Styles, Peter murmurs. You be quiet. We've had this discussion already, Styles says. If you kill her, you're going to go to jail, and don't give me that nobody will find the body crap because you know that Kate has left documents that says if she turns up dead or missing, the Hale family is responsible. You know that because I know it, because she told me that. So nobody will be killing her until we have solid evidence that she was responsible for the fire, and then you can claim pack protection and not be prosecuted. Derek leans his head back into the sofa and reminds himself that this is Styles they're dealing with. He has to remember that he can't just come at him with an opinion and expect him to agree. When he's determined, the best he can hope for is a compromise. Can you at least try to look at it from our point of view for a few minutes? You've made it pretty crystal clear that she murdered half our pack, our family, so every protective instinct available wants her away from you and in the ground. Then you tell me that in order to keep getting information and maintain your cover, his hands are curling over his knees, nails turning to claws despite his best efforts. You have to play the part of a lovesick idiot and let her paw at you. He grits his teeth to keep the growl behind him. It's not that I think you can't handle it, or that I own you and no one should ever touch you, although obviously I'd prefer if they didn't. It's that you don't like it. Obviously I don't like it, Styles says, rolling his eyes. But do you seriously think I'm not willing to endure a little unpleasantness for the sake of the pack? Aren't I allowed to be upset about it? Derek's eyebrows climb. And what's plan B if no evidence shows up? I think a time limit would be reasonable. He's not sure what would happen after that, because he doesn't want Peter in jail either. Peter's already made it abundantly clear that he isn't going to wait forever, Styles says sourly. Peter just gives a nonchalant little shrug. So what's plan B? Derek asks. I'm going to set her on fire and watch her burn, Peter says. Styles flails a little and says, for crying out loud, Peter, no! Plan B is that we expose the WLO for all the murders we can prove, and you'll have to be satisfied with Kate Argent in jail. Talia's lip curls a little, but she says, if it comes to that, fine. Derek looks around. Is that everything? Yes? Good. I need to get out of here. He throws himself to his feet, off the sofa, and towards the door. Styles hesitates. Do you think I? Yes, for the love of God, go, Aaron says. And Styles wastes no time following Derek out the door.